Hello, my name is Scott Shell. I'm the University of Wyoming Extension Entomology Specialist, and today I'd like to talk to you about a new pest that's found its way to Wyoming. And it's one of those things that seems inevitable. This Japanese beetle has been making its way across the country from the East Coast, and it would eventually find its way here. And I'd like to share some more information with you so we can determine if it's anywhere else in Wyoming and if it's possible to stop it and eradicate it before it gets widespread and established. This is just the standard Extension Service disclaimer that if we mention products, that there's no intended endorsement of that product. The Japanese beetles were found at shared in Wyoming's Kendrick Park by some sharp-eyed parks employees, and these samples were sent off to the USDA APHIS Plant Protection and Quarantine Identifier to make sure that they were Japanese beetles. And from there, they've tried to figure out the best path forward and see if they can eradicate them. Initially, one of those things was a resolution about the infestation, urging people to citizens to cease irrigation and watering of lawns. This is a way to help control the invasive Japanese beetles. So the Japanese beetles, if they weren't so darn destructive, are a relatively pretty insect. They were accidentally introduced in the U.S. from their native Japan, probably in the plant trade. Back in New Jersey in 1916 was kind of the first official record of their presence. Probably they were chewing on somebody's roses there, one of their favorite foods. None of our native scarab beetles look anything like the Japanese beetle as far as its coloration. They have an iridescent green head and pronotum, and then reddish brown elytra, which are the front wings, are modified into the hard covers for their body, and these five tufts of white hair along each side of their abdomen. So very distinctive, about the size of a nickel from head to tail. Besides liking to chew on roses, they will feed on over 300 species of plants. They do like to feed on flowers, but they also feed on foliage, and a lot of their host plants are ornamentals, but they also will feed on some of our crop plants and fruit trees and those types of things. So they can be extremely damaging in some situations as adults. A distinctive feature about the adults eating is they do what's called skeletonization of the leaves. They're kind of the picky eaters of the insect world. They'll leave behind the tough veins and eat the tender parts in between them. Certainly that's also a way to help distinguish them from other types of common insects that we have, is that distinctive pattern of feeding. The immature form, or larvae, of beetles, also can be termed grubs, are pests of turf. That's what they live in, that soil and root zone, and chew on the roots of turf grasses, especially well-watered turf grasses. Back east, you know, they can have a very lush turf without artificial watering. Here in the west, generally requires some artificial watering unless it's in a riparian zone. So they will be a problem in golf courses and parks and lush lawns. That's why the city tried to have people cut out the watering during a period to help interfere with the Japanese beetle's life cycle. So by drying out that turf during the period when the Japanese beetle eggs and first stage larvae that have just hatched from the eggs are near the surface, you can cause a lot of mortality in that generation and help reduce the numbers for the following year. That's a type of management called cultural control, where you alter the environment. It's a good thing to include with IPM because it's anything that you can do to help reduce the population without causing undue harm to other things is a helpful step in trying to control a pest. So the Japanese beetle life cycle is a 1-year life cycle. So the adults, after they've laid eggs in the late summer, they will die, and then the next generation will start out. They'll hatch and start feeding on the roots and get bigger and go deeper in the soil later in the year, and then they will come back up the next spring, start feeding again on the grasses of the turf when the ground is thawed, and then they will pupate in order to transform into the adult stage, and the adults are present during the summer months. So again, just an annual life cycle, and that's you'll to do control, you need to understand the life cycles and where you can do appropriate tactics to try to reduce their populations. Well, finding the Japanese beetle population early in Sheridan, while it's still small, bodes well for answering this question. There are models of eradication that it has been done where Japanese beetles have been found and then eliminated, but it and there are other models where it didn't happen. So essentially, the thing in favor of Sheridan getting rid of them is they found them early. And so that's really the basis of this whole presentation, is try to make everybody aware of what the Japanese beetle looks like and why it's a problem. And if you see it, why we should be notified, and everybody make an effort to try to eradicate it. So this map illustrates the states, essentially the east of the Mississippi River, have been long-term general infestations and establishment of the Japanese beetle. And then you have the other states that have the hash marks of green on them that show there's localized infestations. And this map is from, I think, 2018. And it is not quite current because now we would have a localized infestation, and it didn't also show that there is also been infestations around Billings that they haven't been able to eradicate. They've limited their spread, but there's still Japanese beetles they think will come in at the near the Billings Airport. Japanese beetles, for some strange reason, are attracted to the smell of jet fuel, and so they will go on to airports and then unfortunately get into jet airplanes, cargo planes, and then get transported around rapidly, and that's how they think they got them in Billings. So that could be the possible point of introduction, is perhaps Japanese beetle hitched a ride from Billings down to Sheridan, which is not that far away, or somebody got a transplant with some soil that had Japanese beetle larvae in it and brought it back to Sheridan. So who knows how they got it. Certainly they think on the Front Range of Colorado, which has a well-established population now that started in the 1990s. Now there has been two successes with eradication of Japanese beetle. One was at Palisade, Colorado, where they were first found in 2002, and they were eliminated by 2013. Orem, Utah found some in 2006 and were able to eliminate them rather rapidly. But a new population of them has been found near Salt Lake City in 2019, and then out in Oregon in 2016, and they're still fighting them. So again, it is a difficult pest to deal with. They are, because they have the larval stage in the soil, they can be transported pretty easily in the plant trade. So certainly areas that have valuable fruit growing industries, makes them more vulnerable. It's another pest. And so certainly, if we can eradicate them, that will be the best course of action. Palisade, Colorado was able to eradicate them, and it's a very interesting story. It was a effort of the community. They had only one person that didn't want to cooperate with getting their lawn treated or dried out in order to kill a Japanese beetle larva, but the rest of the community united. Part of that was there's a driving economic force there. Peaches are vulnerable to Japanese beetle damage. They will actually chew on the ripening peaches and damage them, and you know, that's a huge cash crop for the area. Their climate is also such it's very hot and dry, and they can't grow much unless it's irrigated. And so by being able to dry out the lawns, you know, they don't kill the lawns, but they dry them out in that critical period. They also had a pest control district that could force anybody who wasn't willing to participate. But like I said, in the write-up of the story of the Japanese beetle eradication, they only had one person that failed to participate, or was willing to participate. So certainly, it can be done. So having the economic incentive of having Japanese beetles damage the crop production in a region, especially high-value crops like food crops, that gives a big incentive. And so Utah, their Department of Food and Agriculture, monitors for Japanese beetle pretty regularly in a lot of areas, and they were successful with eradicating a small infestation in Orem, but then found a new one in 2019. And they only found 36 beetles in 2019, but that triggered an eradication program. So, you know, it doesn't come cheap to try to do this, but they think you know, spend a dollar today to save thousands tomorrow is, I think, the thought. You can read more about their plan and what they are putting forth to eradicate the beetles. Like I say, it's a not cheap program, but in the long term for them, it's going to be more economic to try to eradicate and hopefully be successful. Now, on the other hand, on the Front Range of Colorado, the Japanese beetle initially didn't do too well after it was found. They tried to eradicate it, then realized they were not getting the kind of cooperation needed, and it is spread quite widely on the Front Range. And initially, it wasn't that problematic, but they seem to have adapted to the little bit harsher climate there, and are doing quite well now and are pretty problematic. So, in that situation where eradication is not possible, what they're trying to do now is establish the biological controls of the beetle. So the Japanese beetle was brought here without all of the predators and parasites and things that and diseases that controlled its population back in its native range in Japan. And so they're trying what's called a classical biological control program, where going back and exploring and learning about the biology of the Japanese beetle in its home range, they have found insects that are specific to it, such as this parasitic fly, a tachinid fly that attacks the adults. It lays an egg on the adult beetles that hatches, and then the maggot bores into the adult beetle and will eventually kill it. There's also a parasitic wasp that will dig into the soil and lay an egg on a grub, and then the egg hatches, you can see here on the far right, and will stay on the outside of the body, but essentially suck the body fluids out of the Japanese beetle. And then there's also been a fungal pathogen, a disease organism of Japanese beetles that has been introduced that has established some places in Colorado. So the thought there is that you know, you can suppress their population to the point where they're not quite as problematic. You know, instead of having maybe 100 Japanese beetles eating your rose bush, you know, you'll have five. And it just won't be as devastating of a pest. And the other good thing about this is, it once established, it's low cost. But again, the best course of action, I think, for Sheridan will be to try to eradicate it. In any place that can catch them early, if you can eradicate it, that will be good. Otherwise, you'll have to wait for a while until you have a large enough population of Japanese beetle that you can do an introduction of these control organisms and then get them established, and hopefully they would do natural suppression for you over the long term. So in the areas where you think you might have Japanese beetle, then you can put out monitoring traps. In areas where it's established, you can't really do much good. You don't get a high enough percentage to come in and die in these traps to put a dent in a well-established population. And actually, the joke is back east is if you have somebody you don't like, you give them a Japanese beetle trap because that'll bring in a whole bunch of beetles. Sure, some will die in the trap, but a bunch more will be eating their plants. One of the things that was interesting when I was researching this is they're trying to improve the Japanese monitoring traps so they don't catch and kill many beneficial insects, because unfortunately the same kinds of lures that are used that are attractive to the Japanese beetles can also attract in things that are beneficial like bumblebees. So again, they've been trying to do some studies on what kind of trap you can utilize where you can still monitor for Japanese beetles successfully and yet not catch your beneficial organisms. So again, that if you're interested, then this article from Entomology Today is a good read. Another good read is this fact sheet from Colorado State University. As I said, the Front Range has been dealing with Japanese beetles since the 1990s. And again, with Professor Whitney Cranshaw down there, who is a leading expert in urban entomology and in horticultural entomology, they know quite a bit about them. And again, this fact sheet can be found at this web address here. If you want to learn more about Japanese beetle, this is an excellent resource that you can go there and read. So by now you probably have figured out that the only hope to eradicate Japanese beetles is to find them when they first arrive in your town. If you find one, or you suspect you found one, let somebody know about it. And those people that would be appropriate would be the Wyoming Department of Agriculture, the Wyoming State Forestry Department, your county weed and pest office, your local UW Extension educators, myself at the university. There's my contact information. We also have the Cooperative Ag Pest Survey Program. Let us know so we can then take the appropriate steps to, number one, determine is a Japanese beetle, and if it is, how far along are they, and can they be eradicated? Certainly, it's there's too many invasive insects and not enough people to stop them. So any help that we can get from the citizens of the great state of Wyoming to protect our horticulture is highly appreciated. And I thank you for your time. And if you need to contact me for questions on Japanese beetle or any other type of insect or other arthropod questions, here's my contact information, and I'll be happy to try to assist you.